Welcome back, Hasbins. Cyanon here to tell you that Big Zero didn't want to set the world on fire tonight. Of course, when you're talking about the burning hells and the burning Sonoran Desert, that's hard to do. But as you listen to Redemption in the Wasteland, know that I pray for the safety of all good people who come to HHG, even Gentiles. But we can't expect God to do all the work. Chapter 1. Got shot and buried alive. 0 out of 10. Would not recommend.
Dad, behind you!
Charlie screamed as she saw Adam closing in with a punch aimed at her father with a furious expression on his face. As soon as the head exorcist came closer, Charlie outstretched her hand and coated it with as much of her magic as she could to stop the oncoming punch of the first man. But as the fist of Adam met Charlie's open palm, something unexplainable happened. As soon as their hands collided, Adam's punch, infused with holy magic, and Charlie's palm, infused with her own demonic magic, reacted violently with one another and caused an explosion of blinding light to occur. Lucifer, who noticed the incoming disaster, erected a barrier to cover both himself and his daughter, and attempted to shield his daughter, who was in his arms, from the explosion with his wings. This, while the rest of the exorcists and the demons who were in the explosion's radius ducked for cover to hide from the explosion. As the light settled and the worst had ended, everyone slowly looked in the skies in the direction of the three who were in the ground zero, or air zero, of the explosion. Or rather, the one. Lucifer was still there, albeit with severe scorch marks on his body. His suit burned to ashes in several places, and his wings were missing many feathers as they were burnt to a crisp, and some of them were cracked in several places. The man was still flying, albeit awkwardly. As Loot and Vaggy cut their duel short in response to the explosion, they, along with the other witnesses, gazed at the skies, only to find the King of Hell floating awkwardly in the skies, looking worse for wear, as he attempted to look around him for something or other. But it was soon clear what. The other two, the Princess of Hell and the First Man, were missing. And those who witnessed this horrifying revelation, seeing the absence of the two respective leaders, both exorcists and demons, screamed,
"Sir!
Charlie!"
A man in a checkered suit lazily wielded a handgun as he pointed it at the two injured figures, a man and a woman, with a hole, a grave, fit for two people, was dug behind him.
"The truth is, you two, the game was rigged from the start."
Adam wanted to scream. He wanted to cry from the tremendous amount of pain he was in. But whatever adrenaline remained from the fight against Lusa Cunt and his bitch of a daughter overcame any and all such urges. Even though he doesn't remember how long ago that fight was, he just blacked out suddenly. And partly because of the ridiculous amount of soil and dirt in front of him that threatened to pour into his mouth if he opened it. The man clawed his way out, squinting his eyes as much as possible to still allow for visibility while protecting it from the dirt. And soon, he felt the cold air open on his hand as he reached the surface, and soon, from hands to arms to head to torso and legs, the male exorcist was finally free.
Fuck. Oh, what the fuck happened? That piece of shit teleport me somewhere? No. Wait, did he fucking try to bury me alive? That fucking man whore.
But as the man's fiery rage was quelled, mostly from exhaustion that slowly began to kick in, he gazed at his surroundings to make sense of where he was and gasped in shock. He was in the middle of a cemetery, a shabby one, yes, but a cemetery nonetheless, with graves strewn about haphazardly, with what seemed to be an old water tower, at least he remembers that's what his descendants called them, situated near the graves, and a small town in the distance. Yet his greatest shock was from what he witnessed above him. The sight before him was both phantasmal yet familiar. Above him was the moon and the starlit skies of the night, a scene he never got to see again after he died and went to heaven. It was just like he remembered it. Beautiful. Adam wanted to gaze at this glorious view for a few more minutes, maybe even hours, but the unexplainable pain in his torso forced him otherwise, which resulted in him looking at the next weird thing. He wasn't in his normal robes, or rather, in any robes or other articles of clothing he remembered owning. Instead, he was clothed in what he can call as none other than apocalypse-themed outfit, consisting of what seems to be old rags made of a gray shirt, a black vest, and leather pants with bits and pieces of leather protecting some parts of his body. But what surprised him even more were the red blotches on his torso that seemed to be increasing in size. It didn't seem to be any sort of dye or red clothes, but rather...
Blood? Is that red? Blood? What the fuck? My blood is supposed to be golden! What the fuck happened to me? No way! Did I fall or some shit? Did I become a fucking sinner?
Adam patted his body in panic as he searched for any corporeal evidence to tell him otherwise. Yet, as he continued to explore his clothing, he felt something was missing. As if he was missing an intricate part of himself, and as he touched his back, he knew what it was.
My wings. My wings! What the fuck happened to my gorgeous golden wings? They're gone too? What is fucking happening to me?
Adam's breath quickened for a moment, as he couldn't comprehend what was happening to him. His wings, a part of his very body for a good 9/10 of his lifetime since Eden, are now gone. Not just invisible, but truly gone.
No. Calm the fuck down, man. You're fucking Adam. You're the fucking man. You dealt with shit worse than this on Earth when it was just you and Eve. This is nothing. Yeah, I just gotta calm the fuck down.
The man took deep breaths as he, while putting pressure on his wound, tried to calm his heart down, which was pumping so quickly a person would think he'd just ran for the Olympics. As Adam was busy trying not to get a panic attack, he suddenly heard the rustling of dirt from behind him, and as he sharply turned to the source of the noise, he found it coming from the same pit he just clawed himself out of.
Seriously, there's someone here too? What the fuck? Is there some sort of fetish for burying people alive that I don't know about?
Though the man complained as he was afraid of who exactly buried him and this mysterious other person in the cemetery alive, he didn't waste any time in burying his hands in the dirt and shoveling away the dirt, pile by pile. And as he finally felt his dirtied hands touch something with the same composition as skin, he shoveled away the dirt even faster than before, as the figure who was buried here with him until it, or rather her, became visible. Just like Adam, the woman was also clothed in an outfit that screamed apocalypse survivor, consisting of sturdy leather pants, a gray flannel shirt and a black vest, with similar hardened leather armor pieces spread across the woman's body. Adam wasn't surprised anymore, as he already had clothes similar to the woman's on his own person. Yet what surprised him was who the woman was.
No fucking way! Isn't this Lucifer's brat? Why the hell is she buried here too?
Whatever anger Adam felt he should have had in his heart for the buried princess was washed away in shock.
No, that doesn't make any fucking sense. That porcelain twink wouldn't have buried his own daughter. He cares for her, right? Yeah, that makes no sense. I mean, if it were me, I understand. I'd do the same if the sadistic fucking thought ever crossed my mind to bury my own worst enemy alive. But to do that to his own blood? Yeah, no way. That means it's probably some other bastard who hates us both. But who exactly?
Adam would have continued to wallow in his thoughts had he not seen the trail of blood coming from Charlie's mouth and what seemed to be a bullet wound in her skull. The man quickly rushed and pulled the woman out of the pit as he then placed his fingers over her carotid artery, feeling a very faint, but still present, pulse.
No fucking way, she's still alive? There's a fucking bullet wound in her bloody skull. Shit. How the fuck is she still breathing? Pure fucking will or some shit?
Adam was quite surprised that the woman was still among the living, and for good reason, too. Charlie was buried alive with an untreated bullet wound on her skull, and while he knows many of his descendants in heaven who had survived such wounds, such as Phineas Gage, even though he died a rude and crass man, it was no fault of his own, as the pipe that shot through his skull rearranged his personality.
Literally.
Still, he had immediate help to get him through, but the princess here was buried alive, instead of being treated, probably by the same bastard who apparently also shot Adam in his torso and buried them both. And even though he was positively impressed by her tenacity to live, the bigger question still remained in his mind.
Should I even try to help her? She's still the fucking enemy. The fucking daughter of that bitch Lilith and that wife-stealing cunt Lucifer. I should let her rot in here instead of helping her. This bitch is responsible for attacking my exorcists.
As Adam kept rationalizing to himself why he should leave the princess to her own fate, the woman in question suddenly coughed up a lot of blood. More than enough that, were it any normal human, they would have been meeting God face to face by now. And just as suddenly as Charlie's blood-filled cough erupted from her, Adam quickly scooped the woman up in his arms, close to his chest as he began exiting the cemetery and rushing down the hill towards the town he saw when he got his bearings back.
Fuck, I should have left her. I shouldn't have taken her with me.
Even though Adam mentally scolded himself for not doing so, he made no move to drop the woman off and let her die on the side of the road. For as much as Adam despised demons and anyone affiliated with the Morning Stars, he wouldn't stoop to the two bastards' level and abandon someone the way he was treated like shit and abandoned by them a long time ago, before and even after the fall. And even though that bitch Vaggie's face popped up in his head time and time again, he only felt guilty for taking away her spear when they stripped her of her wings, eye, and halo, and not giving her anything to defend herself, not for leaving her in hell. That moron spared demons multiple times, including some fucks that eventually became overlords just because she felt some pity for them and didn't end them sooner, like that creepy moth fuck who kept ass-kissing her while speaking Spanish. She made her bed and spared those rotten descendants of his. Then she should lie in it. As Adam reached the vicinity of the town, he suddenly began feeling dizzy and his chest ached once again. He felt his strength beginning to leave him as the delicate cargo in his arms became 10 times heavier for some reason. His body ached, and he wanted to just let go, but his mind and heart were set on finishing what he started. He brought Miss Princess Sunshine here to be treated, and he would do just that.
Somebody! Help! We need help! Of someone who got shot here!
Adam shouted as he began losing focus, his legs nearly giving out from beneath him. Thankfully for the first human, some weird robotic creature swiftly came running on its one wheel, and just as sudden as its arrival was, so too were its next actions, as the giant robot suddenly scooped up Adam, with Charlie still in the man's arms, and rushed somewhere within the edge of the town.
Don't worry, partner. I'll get you and your lady friend to the good dock as quickly as I can.
Adam heard a male voice, one distinctly similar to those cowboys he spoke with before in heaven. And though the human's vision was a bit blurry, he could almost swear there was a picture of a cowboy's face, complete with the hat and the neck scarf on that big screen on the machine's torso. Or maybe his mind was playing tricks on him.
Hey, Doc! I got 2 new patients for you. They look hurting real bad!
The robot shouted at the house they reached, while letting the man in his arms stand on his own, with the woman still in his arms. And, as soon as he said it, there was a rummaging inside that Adam faintly heard before a bald, old man with a large mustache stepped outside. And as he saw the state of the 2 organics, he motioned for the man to enter.
Quick, get in!
Adam didn't need to be told twice, as he followed the doctor with Charlie still in his arms, and as he got to a room within the house, the doctor motioned for him to place Charlie on the prepared operating table as he got his surgical equipment. As the doctor returned and began checking for the princess's vitals, he breathed a sigh of relief as he spoke with the man while quickly laying out his surgical equipment on the table next to him.
I don't know whether I should call you or her a lucky son of a gun, you know what? If you'd been even a few minutes late, she would have been with my wife on the other side by now.
Is she gonna make it, Doc?
Adam asked the question as he watched how the surgeon began poking and probing with his weird equipment. Hey, don't blame him. Adam's only familiarity with how to treat injuries caused by primitive weapons. Anything else was way beyond his time where he would have just used holy magic to treat them.
I can't say for sure. Thankfully, the bullet didn't mess up her noggin real bad, but that remains to be seen. Go, sit over there, take that piece of cloth and seal that wound of yours. I have to treat the missy's wounds before I get to you.
Adam didn't need to be told twice as he limped towards the nearby chair, his own wound reminding him of his seeming return to humanity. The red color eerily reminding him of his days back on Earth the first time. As he placed the cloth the surgeon gave him to seal his wound, his breath easing up a bit by this. A few hours later, Adam saw the doctor place down his instruments as he set to clean the area, removing his surgical gown and mask as he closed the movable curtains around Charlie while speaking to the other man in the room.
This might be me saying it one more time, but you're really lucky. Had she been a bit late to the table, we would have had to bury her by now.
Adam limply nodded as he looked with half-lidded eyes at the curtains that hid the woman.
Guess so, but, can you help me now, Doc? Just because I'm used to the pain doesn't mean I like keeping a bullet in my chest like some kind of fucked-up trophy.
Ah, yes, I forgot about that. Quick, come here. Luckily, your wound is much less lethal than the young lass's.
The doctor quickly set another makeshift operating table as he went towards the man and guided him to the table.
Sure, but it still hurts like a bitch. God, I need to take a nap for a bit.
As soon as Adam said this, he collapsed on the floor, nearly taking the doctor down with him as he finally surrendered to the pain.
Ah, damn it! Hold on, young man!